We're going to get into some bootlegging talk here.
Okay.
We might just lay the background on prohibition in the state of Oklahoma. This state had the distinction of being the only one to come into the Union with prohibition already written into its constitution.
Correct.
We started from the very beginning in 1907. It survived for more than 50 years, was also a very disputed law. More than 10 times the issue came up before vote of the people, and each time the prohibitionists won by a small amount. And despite the fact that technically the manufacture, sale, and distribution of alcohol in Oklahoma was illegal, the bootlegging industry was a major, major industry in this state.
What you were stating there, there's a lot of old statements and sayings about, you know, they'll stumble to the polls to vote us dry, or vote dry, drink wet, you know, and all those kind of things. But yeah, bootlegging, oh gosh, it was well recognized. That first car that I mentioned to you, that I had, this 34 Chevy that I drove out to Brookside Bank to apply for my job, I bought that from a bootlegger, a man named Bob, who was up at Grand Lake at Langley. My dad had gone up there to pick up some rough fish, and he saw this old car all rusted sitting out there in the pasture. So once I fixed that car up, I drove it, and he had an engine in there that wouldn't stop, which I always assumed that he was making deliveries in his bootlegging days. In the back of it, it didn't have a rumble seat, but it had a place for a rumble seat back there. There was a bunch of his cards. Bootleggers would have cards, like a business card, said, call Bob anytime, day or night. And they'd also deliver it to your home. I mean, for people who wanted to drink, it's a pretty good deal when you stay home, just call them up and they come and deliver it to you. It had all kind of gimmicks. Some of them believed that they weren't violating the law. I don't know who would have advised them this. If I were to have called them, I'm not saying that I ever did, but if I had called them and they came to the house, they would not take any money from you. They would put the alcohol, whatever it might be, the bottle, in a chair. You laid your money in the chair, and then I could get the bottle later, and they'd take the money, see? So I didn't deliver. You know, I thought, well, that's dumb. That does constitute a delivery, but they believed that, you know? And there's all kind of gimmicks, and so many of the criminals that were created, I hate to say created, but maybe nurtured during the Prohibition time, they moved from bootlegging into more serious crimes.
We might add that the gubernatorial race of 1958 was a rather raucous election, because this was the controversy between prohibition and repeal, and it provided much of the debate material. But then Governor Edmondson was very adamant about presenting a consistent policy of prohibition. He said, if liquor is illegal in Oklahoma, then let's make it so. That was then when cities, hotels, and other businesses lost massive amounts of revenue from the now impossible traffic in liquor. As the next possible opportunity came along, April 7th of 1959, the citizens of our state turned out to turn down prohibition, and it was said of the vote that was held that week in 59 that with it, Oklahoma was finally ushered into the modern era. And I'm sure you have remembrances of
Yes. I remember that very well. A lot of the people whose names started coming across more regularly after that period of time on the blotters of the police department and upon the charges filed in the clerk's office in Tulsa County were people who now, I guess, their business was drying up. There was still some bootlegging going on. There's probably still bootlegging going on today. Somebody illegally selling liquor, meaning selling without a license or whatever. But generally speaking, so many of these people who had reputations as bootleggers, that was their business. So now they had to turn to other things. And many of them went into legitimate businesses. Others did not stay in legitimate businesses. You know, in bootlegging those days, you had to have sort of a network to get the liquor, to bring it in, and a lot of them traffic into Missouri and other states to bring the liquor in. So you had to have a contact, you had to have a means of transporting, and then you got a distribution system. So with all that system in place, a lot of them turned to crime. I mean, as an example, if I was having contacts with people out of state for something, and they knew it was illegal that they were participating in, now if I move into, say, burglary, or if I move into larceny, or I move into receiving stolen property, then I've got to have a place to take that property, to get it changed from property to money. So that network came into play, I think, probably. Sort of a natural move for some of these people. Some of the bad ones, the real bad ones, had sort of cut their teeth in bootlegging, being runners for bootleggers. Then when it ended, when liquor became legal, at least when it's sold through stores and all, then these people turned to very serious crime.
We should also say that when these raids under Edmondson came about, that there were numerous state officials that were embarrassed in these raids and confiscations.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know of names or care to mention them or not, but you probably do.
Well, Cannon's Raiders. I remember Cannon's Raiders. I think they even made Life magazine articles. I can remember seeing photographs of Joe Cannon. He later became a district judge over there in Oklahoma County. But, you know, I can't think of an instance where
there was a known.
Right. I do recall there was a raid at Southern Hills, but it may not have been by Joe Cannon. It may have been by the Tulsa Police Department or something. And I remember that raised a lot of eyebrows. I can remember, no name will be used here, a man whose daddy was a member of a club. And this fellow worked for me at one time as a prosecutor. Very nice man, very honest man. And his daddy was a member in a different county. This guy left my office, became a prosecutor in this other county, and had a raid at the club where his daddy was a member, and it created a domestic problem, you might say.
It's interesting now to kind of comment, because when we were trying to stamp out the evils of alcohol, it actually produced a class of criminals, as you've already stated here. They got into the criminal business because of bootlegging, and then it became a way of life for them.
Oh, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I can think of families, some brothers in Tulsa who, at least three of them were bootleggers. There's another man, his son wrote a book about him, Wayne Padgett. The son wrote a book called Oklahoma Tough about his father.
And Barry Switzer.
And Barry Switzer
talks about his father. Yeah. The book was Bootlegger's Son.
Yeah.
Well, that was over in Arkansas.